for the first time in over 50 years of gold price suppression, it is forcing the Fed-controlled CME-LBMA market makers to become price takers.
They now have to keep printing or we crash.
We've got this ticking time bomb.
Talking gold with the one and only Andrew Maguire.
Welcome to Live from the Vault.
Welcome to Live from the Vault. Live from the Vault is a show that goes beyond the headlines and uncovers the truth about the precious metals industry and the effects on the global economy in these historic times. We have exclusive access to experts, insiders, and we reveal information and insights that you simply won't find anywhere else. Hi there, my name is Shane Moran, and I'll be your host for this week's episode. And we'll be joined shortly by the one and only precious metals expert and whistleblower, Andrew Maguire, as we pull back the curtains on the intricate world of the gold and silver markets and expose what's really going on in the precious metals industry. So get ready for another blockbuster episode of Live from the Vault, and we'll bring you the knowledge and the understanding that the mainstream media won't provide. So just before we head over to the UK, please help us spread the word about this channel by clicking that like button right there. You can do it right now. You know, share this information and make sure you subscribe if you haven't already done so. It really helps the channel grow and grow the community as well. And if you want to be notified as each episode goes live, click on that little black bell and you'll be notified in real time. And with that, let's head over to the UK and talking gold with Andrew Maguire. Hey, Andrew, there's so many good questions from the Live from the Vault growing community. It's difficult to know where to start this market update, but we usually start off with the short-term action as this really reveals where we are in the paper versus physical war, and it is a war. And then I know you want to update everyone on where we are in the BRICS ongoing physically driven gold price reset process, which is a big topic. But let's start off this week with the short-term, please.
Perfect, Shane. Let's begin by connecting the dots from our last episode, which is always a good idea. I can't believe it. It's 2 weeks ago. And as we recorded that episode, gold was trading at 2,300 bucks spot ahead of FOMC. We had FOMC upcoming that day. We didn't know what the results were going to be, but we figured it was probably going to be a non-event. And just as we noted at the time, though, the technically overbought COMEX-centric paper market positioning was really reverting into what we conceived as healthily oversold conditions, which told us it was going to make it much more difficult for officials to keep paper capping the coiling, physically driven rally, opening up really an opportunity for us to join with Asian buyers to take advantage of any dips below very, very large central bank bids at 2,300 spot that we'd reported were aggregating there ahead of FOMC. Now, these coiling physically driven conditions were limiting the cartel's ability to source enough CTA short cover, meaning the hot money specs that are siloed inside the casino that don't have any visibility into the physical markets. And it was, obviously, they were trying to source enough of them to enable them to chart paint. They were desperately trying to chart paint a third lower weekly close, which technically would have been very bearish. And they were trying to do that in both gold and silver. And despite having 2 weeks of downside momentum on their side, these capping efforts were overrun by physical market participants. So under the smoke and mirrors COMEX-driven action, liquidity providers indicated central bank buying was exceptionally strong last week. And this physically driven coiling effect followed the very large, and when we remember, we talked about T plus two central demand. All that means is in the physical markets, which are physically backed, unlike the COMEX, when we see a delivery request, it is regulated and it is T plus two deliverable. In other words, 2 days, it must be delivered in 2 days, which ensures that the spot liquidity providers do have physical on hand. And we saw that. And what was happening was this very large demand, T plus two demand, was being triggered into the momentum-driven dip sub spot 2300. into what was the obligatory non-farm payrolls volatility at the time. And these official capping efforts blew back on officials as freshly aggregated central bank bids at this very strong central bank bid interest level were hit and filled. Now, with insufficient CTA short cover to offset this accruing wall of T plus two obligations, this set the stage for officials to have to front run any further CTA-driven dips into this very strong central bank support level, a level they will have to significantly front run into any further news-related synthetically driven dips. Now, we always expect CTA-driven volatility around all the news events, but they ultimately provide opportunities, really, to alchemize depreciating dollars into gold and silver, really. Now, as we've been tracking, while we've had one full month of officially constructed bid pulling, and which had strategically sucked in pretty much sufficient momentum-driven CTA short sellers, i.e., these are the hot money that literally choose to borrow futures positions and sell them short without any, and what we call naked short, without any offsetting position. So it created a lot of that momentum for the insiders to cover into. But this has relied on leaning for the officials to lean into their long gold futures June contracts leg at 2300, which obviously trades at a premium to spot. So this is a game they play. And so what they were doing was leaning into that to offset this delivery risk. The trouble is these futures positions are 96% leverage unbacked hedging bets. So any bets that can't be squared against COMEX speculators become vulnerable for a delivery. So what that means is that the cartel attempts to force selling below 2300 spot will become much more difficult. And as this June contract premiums that they rely on to game the CTAs shrinks to equal to spot as we move into options expiry on this June contract on the 28th of this month. Now, the future spread to spot has contracted from, it was 25 bucks when this contract rolled onto the board, and it's currently about $4.90 today. So their paper flywheel to risk-free game COMEX CTAs is rapidly evaporating. So I'm really trying to draw attention to how that works. And by no coincidence, last week, CTA-driven gold futures low was reversed at, guess what, 2,360 cents futures. And this was for the reasons we've just outlined. And of course, it wasn't revisited. However, given the accruing T plus two overhang, the equally large central bank buy stops that they were attempting to cap at spot gold 2350, which was above the market, were tripped off into this strong Chinese buying in Asia. So they got caught both sides. Now, liquidity providers see that the this NSFR-compliant T plus two physical delivery overhang now really far exceeds the ability for officials to offset the outflows of this resulting 96% leverage unwind. And as this unbacked physically sought open interest exits the COMEX back door for physical delivery, that's what's happening. So constructed FOMC, non-farm payrolls, Fed speak, PPI, CPI, which we had today, hawkish Powell yesterday, has most recently served to cap the breakout above the next large untapped buy stop central bank layers at spot 2350. But this resistance was blown through, forcing commercials to ring the register on sucked in CTA shorts far, far earlier than they would have liked. Now, every single constructed dip this last 2 weeks since our last episode has evidenced a large exchange of paper for central bank size physical demand. Now, under the synthetically driven 1 month churn that we've just experienced, the technically overbought conditions have reverted to oversold, into which liquidity providers continue to report relentless central bank physical demand into these official capping efforts, driving an upside breakout of the very short-term range. Now, into this process, with CTAs rinsed of longs, and then they've accrued fresh low-hanging shorts that they've accrued into the bearish sideways action, ultimately, this is being resolved to the upside. So a fresh higher stair step to rally from is now forming in both gold and silver. And as far as silver's concerned, we continue to look at the same actors' footprints in silver to lead gold higher out of this current one-month healthy consolidation range. So into this wash and rinse process, despite the Fed's best efforts to cap gold rising against the dollar, absolutely no technical damage has been inflicted. So bottom line, Shane, if we look at the plain vanilla technicals that influence these blinkered CTA directional trades, and bear in mind that sideways is bearish to these momentum chasers, then we also observe very little progress has been actually made to the downside. And the medium term continues to evidence both gold and silver reversing from, as I say, this technically overbought, easily gained position to oversold. And in light of the accruing spot gold T plus two overhang, we would expect the next leg of this physically driven rally in both gold and silver to resume from a much, much higher stair step.
All right, Andrew, now, can you give us an update on the BRICS gold-backed currency?
Yes, Shane, this leads on perfectly from the physically underpinned higher stair steps from which the next leg of the gold and silver rally commences. And I'm a firm believer that at the margin into an already tight for demand physical gold market, this 24 carat higher stair step support is at least partly attributable to the effect exactly 3 months of beta testing of Glazier's BRICS gold-backed commodity currency has had on the price of dollar benchmarked gold. And while not one-to-one, our liquidity providers feel it's very close. And the plus $500 per ounce, kilo, ton, higher dollar cost to benchmark these same lots of gold is largely due to the forced unwinding of a three-month long, and this is a huge number, 295,000 lots of COMEX EFP drain. That equals, say, 918 tons of 96% leveraged gold being forced to be fully funded to meet NSFR-compliant delivery obligations. And to provide context, we're benchmarking these outflows just from the 13th of February, which is when we reported in our Live from the Vault episode on February the 23rd episode that the beta testing had commenced. And while the mainstream media analysts haven't yet shaken these paper market scales off their eyes, they're still framing gold in fiat terms. They haven't yet realized gold is being repriced in the global south. Now, with Western physical gold exiting the Fed cartel's control, they are no longer able to shuffle physical delivery obligations inside the trading books of the cartel ring fence. And for the first time in over 50 years of gold price suppression, it is forcing the Fed-controlled CME-LBMA market makers to become price takers. Now, the implications of this are enormous. And to explain, since the 1st of January 2023, every single NSFR-compliant first-tier FX gold asset has to be physically backed. So when a price maker demands T plus two delivery, read BRICS-led Chinese physical demand, it forces the cartel to become a price taker. A price taker must accept the physically settled SGE ruble price, even if it's $130 over the LBMA fixed price, which it often is. Now, a price maker enjoys the pricing power and sets the price. It is this forced paper to physical deleveraging of 96% unbacked COMEX fiat gold being forced to be fully paid for that is driving and will drive the price of gold hundreds of dollars higher. Now, the gold price is now being made in the BRICS facing physical markets. Western capping of gold against the dollar in the FX markets is backfiring. And if you think about it, it's simple. At the dollar side of an FX cross, you know, where you've got your long one side, short the other, where it could be euro, dollar, it could be anything. But it's also, in this case, we're talking about the dollar versus gold in that cross. The dollar side's unbacked and debasing. And while the first tier FX gold leg of this cross is physically backed, and it appears gold is rising when actually it's the dollar that's debasing. And that's why we regularly see a plus or minus $100 SGE price being arbitraged, or should I say, alchemized. Also, the ruble price of gold is consistently priced plus or minus 50 bucks higher than LBMA spot gold. And as I look right now, the price makers are commanding $2,420 bucks spot gold. And this, as I look, so basically well above, and this is just Wednesday, this is just well above the spot price. And this simply represents the current price to exchange physical gold for Russian oil. Now, Russia is a primary BRICS price maker, and it's busy building physical backing for the BRICS gold-backed commodity currency at the same time. Now, given the current BRICS physical gold accumulation mandate is directly responsible for the dollar price of gold rising and into what all our liquidity providers assess is a minimum equilibrium price of $3,000, and that by their own definition, they are readying to use physical gold to back its future currency as an alternative to the US dollar, the absence of any meaningful mainstream media reporting is deafening. Any globalist-centric reporting we do evidence, it seeks to disparage the BRICS efforts to displace the dollar. Now, this past week, Russia has reshuffled his cabinet during this May 10th, 14th window. I have a very close BRICS contact who is responsible this year for coordinating many of the BRICS events. Now, he reports all of the recent meetings and strategy sessions to implement Glazunov's gold-backed commodity currency will concatenate on this second meeting of BRICS ministers of finance and central bank governors on the 28th of May in Moscow. Now, we anticipate an announcement by the end of May. In the interim, beta testing has stepped up.
Hey, Andrew, the huge Chinese SGE gold premiums and the large physical gold demand that you've been reporting on over the last year plus, you know, must be taking a toll on the cartel. Do you expect this demand to continue?
Yes, Shane. Perfect question, as this leads into tackling the most asked question since gold broke out of its officially capped 2024 range 3 months ago. The question is the current Chinese-driven gold price speculative and vulnerable to a historic crash? That if I can sum up, that's how the questions are all sort of concatenated. The spoiler alert is no, and I will circle back to answering this question in detail in a sec. But we first need to fill in the more obvious footprints. So yes, the rising yuan gold price faces and continues to attract Chinese speculators. Now, liquidity providers assess that given the huge overhang of unfilled gold demand, it's not expected to dwindle anytime soon. If you recall, Shane, it was exactly 1 year ago when we drew attention to this, to a second major push by Beijing to open up online gold accounts to provide access to millions of smaller investors who had never not been able to participate when Beijing opened up gold trading to wealthy investors in 2010. This 2023 push was also framed as one component of war measures. Now, having not ruled out invading Taiwan, but adamant it would defend its sovereign territory in the face of US interference, China is openly preparing for war. Now, back in October, Chinese President Xi Jinping appointed his war cabinet in response to US military officials openly discussing their plans for a future war with China. Now, in direct response, President Xi Jinping implemented the largest military buildup since the Second World War and began mobilizing the civilian population for war, incentivizing citizens' gold purchases, ultimately providing access for them to 25,000 to possibly 30,000 tons of citizens' assets, who, as it was stated, would be rewarded by participating in a patriotic lease scheme that would guarantee ultimate redemption, but also reward citizens with a significantly higher gold price. Now, this means Xi had to sanction-proof his regime from an increasingly weaponized dollar. And this process of driving fresh citizens' gold is being well received by investors whose saving rate is estimated to be around 40%. And given that a rising yuan gold price is supported by the PBOC, it is sucking in investments into gold and will continue to place a strong bid under physical gold. Now, if the COMEX-centric paper market does not follow, i.e. if they sell under-deliverable futures contracts to try and cap gold into this unfactored swap of dollars for gold and yuan for gold, essentially, the COMEX will be drained of all its leveraged NSFR-compliant bullion through the EFP conduit. We know, we talked about the EFP conduit is simply a mechanism to be able to convert a COMEX position, which has position limits on it, into the over-the-counter deliverable markets. Now, what is unstoppable is that militarily, China is now formalizing its alliances with Russia, which will increasingly mean supporting it in its proxy war with the US, which they know will risk US sanctions against China, meaning that the real battle will be fought in the extremely vulnerable US dollar hegemony, against US dollar hegemony. And it didn't help with Yellen and Blinken's visit. We talked about that last in our last episode. It had just happened, and it was very coldly received. And since then, we've seen a whole bunch of sanctions being miraculously put up against China. I'm sure that was going to be that was the threat when they went there. In other words, you better stop helping Russia, else we will impose these sanctions. So it's just more par for the course. And much as the PBOC did in 2010, what they had done, when you think about this latest push to buy gold, they once again telegraphed that they would stand behind these freshly incentivized gold investments, ensuring that gold priced in yuan would rise to support citizens' purchases. And what is notable is that these freshly incentivized gold investments were designed to provide a return based solely on gold price appreciation. And this laid down the gauntlet. So to answer your subscriber question, Shane, this is where we step in to tackle the most asked question since gold broke out of its officially capped 2024 range 3 months ago. It is the current Chinese-driven gold buying speculative and vulnerable to a historic crash? Technically, yes, but only if we blinker ourselves to the massive shift of pricing power from west to east. So let's look at this from its breakout point to what we see now and why the gold price is ultimately being supported higher at higher levels by the BRICS anchor China. Now, the breakout point was triggered by the Fed sleepwalking into making a catastrophic error on the 13th of February after spot gold hit massive central bank bids that we'd identified were aggregating in large tonnage size at spot 2000. Now, if you recall, we drew attention to how the Fed had overcooked sucking in their naked short CTAs, who control 75% of all the naked short undeliverable COMEX open interest, the casino chips, in other words. This was a classic case of being careful what you ask for, as it was the momentum-driven overshoot of 400,000 lots of naked short COMEX gold that was put on sale in just two sessions, a mind-boggling 1,245 tons of 96% leveraged paper gold. More than a third of global gold production, which we outlined at the time, was ludicrous. It was this that ignited the stack of CTA sell orders overrunning and triggering these massive central bank bids. Huge mistake by the Fed. And we highlighted that very day that a very large over 12,000 EFPs were immediately alchemized into NSFR compliant T+2 deliverable bullion. That was just in one day. And it was on a one-way journey, guess where? To China. Triggering these central bank orders was a catalyst for that $400 gold price rally. And while along the way we have evidenced some coattailing, CTAs hanging on for the ride and ultimately getting rinsed out, and we see that again today after CPI, of course, anytime that these guys jump on board, they're naked long and they immediately get rinsed out. Hence this healthy consolidation while they are rinsed out. But this backdoor drain has not gone away. And as we've just mentioned, since then, this backdoor drain has now exceeded over 900 tons of EFPs. And while this drain continues, the Fed's problem is trying to maintain a falling gold, to maintain their failing gold capping efforts, because they're having to fully fund the 96% of these COMEX contracts as they hit the physical compliant over-the-counter markets in London. And this is what's ultimately sucking pricing power out of the cartel's hands. And I guess the point we're trying to make or draw attention to is that the gold price appreciation is in an ongoing process, and with China underpinning citizens' investments based solely on gold price appreciation, as the yuan price of gold rises, the arbitrage effect will also force the Western gold price to rise. And with gold price now having migrated hundreds of dollars higher, the PBOC is all in to ensure these investors continue to be underpinned. Beijing is taking advantage of the boxed-in Fed's polar opposite strategy. It can only be described as a polar opposite strategy of seeking to chase out Western gold investors, as they're doing again today. All of that is happening while we witness CTAs exit their high counterparty risk unbacked gold investments. Inversely, we see the physical settled gold price moving into strong physical hands outside of the LBMA CME ring fence as those CTAs exit, investments exit the COMEX. So Shane, to answer the question whether the PBOC strategy to underpin gold will endure, we only have to look at their track record. The last time the PBOC encouraged the more wealthy middle-class citizens to buy gold back in 2010, they also undertook to underpin that gold price, which was at the time $1,000 per ounce. And despite multiple Fed-driven official gold price suppression attempts over the years, the PBOC stood to defend that gold price, and it was never revisited. Even during the cartel's price suppression heyday events before Basel III, when they still had full control of both the COMEX and the 10 times larger over-the-counter markets, they could never breach that level. And so to put things into context, last year's push to incentivize citizens' gold buying was benchmarked at 1900 spot, which was about $900 higher than when gold was benchmarked the last time they underpinned the gold price in 2010. Now, this measure was by no coincidence undertaken directly after the PBOC was blocked by the IMF from accessing 203 tons of gold that remained available after the IFM's 200-ton Reserve Bank of India sale. And I'm going to circle back on this in a sec, as it now leads into how all of this central bank and coordinated citizen gold buying segues into the BRICS gold-backed currency. Following the latest Beijing gold investment push at around 1900, we did evidence spot gold synthetically gamed into an LBMA spot low at 1810. And that was in October of 2023. So in dollar terms, it was about 90 bucks lower. But, and this is important, the yuan price of gold was flywheeled around $130 higher than the US dollar benchmark, ensuring these small investors' gold returns met the PBOC's undertaking, which was, quote, gold investments would provide a return to investors based solely on price appreciation. This is huge. So these assurances were met, and Chinese gold investors have never looked back. And also, as we've noted at the time, this premium over Western price gold was also being driven by massive PBOC and Russian gold buying, really capitalizing on the synthetic-driven discounts. So in summary, really, following the fresh PBOC gold purchasing mandate being opened up, we've evidenced the SGE premiums over London spot acting as a price management flywheel, expanding and reducing premiums over local London spot as is necessary to insulate freshly incentivized Chinese gold buyers from the CME-derived paper market volatility. Now, currently, the Fed-centric generated price dips, the PBOC is into them, that the PBOC is soaking up and alchemizing COMEX-centric paper market liquidity, including tapping the gold ETF, tightening the noose on paper gold. So it looks very much like the playbook from Sun Tzu's The Art of War, which was, in the midst of chaos, there's also opportunity. And that rings true with us too, because that's what we're actioning. And the move by China to underpin the SGE gold price shines a light on the clash of these two global siloed gold markets. One, the SGE is 100% backed with physical bullion, and the other, the COMEX, unbacked by physical gold. This is an inflection point that should have our attention. And as we have previously drawn attention to, the Fed is the only remaining central bank that is net short gold. And the problem for the Fed is that their sole remaining COMEX-centric price management tools are being picked off by the global physical exchanges accessing the casino's EFP backdoor.
Now, Andrew, before we started recording today, you had mentioned last week's IMF report on gold. Can you give us your take on this and what's going on?
Now, the IMF report published last week, it was on Tuesday the 7th, hit the wire seeking to frame China's de-dollarizing process, which by no coincidence officially captures China selling US treasuries in almost equal amounts to gold purchases, more than doubling gold FX reserves from under 2% in 2015, their benchmark, to 4.3% in 2023. Now, this is the IMF's report. Now, it does not cover shadow banking buying that we've been drawing attention to, but the bulk of these official gold purchases were added in 2023 after gold was reclassified under Basel III NSFR as an alternative first-year asset class, opening up FX gold to directly compete with US treasuries and related agency bonds. Now, what is interesting is that the IMF, yes, this is the same IMF that on the 4th of November 2009 directly sold the Reserve Bank of India 200 tons of their 403.3 tons of IMF gold that they had telegraphed they were going to put on sale. Now, we used to see this. This was about the fourth and the very last sale. But each time they would telegraph, we're going to sell gold, and they would bring the price down. Of course, they'd say we're telegraphing. That was like a squeaky wheelbarrow. With time and time again, the IMF's going to sell gold. And over the years, that happened. In this case, India took 200 tons of it. Now, that kind of caught everyone's attention, and they were allowed to buy 200 tons of this. But the IMF blocked China's official request to buy the remaining 200 tons of physical gold at the then current market price of 1,000. They weren't looking for a discount. They just went, here's the, you know, we'll just hit the bid. So anyway, why did they do this? Because it was intended that the remaining 203 tons of divested IMF physical gold would be siloed inside the BIS gold site accounts to be used to assist officials in managing the FX gold price against the dollar. I know Gatta talked about this a lot at the time. And as we reported at the time, this is the exact moment that China, in alliance with Russia, began surreptitiously buying off-the-record monetary gold, their offtake effectively putting a floor under the $1,000 gold price sold to India, a price, as I say, which was never revisited despite the Fed's best efforts to subsequently crash the gold price after it rose by over 900 bucks in 2011. Now, the unfactored $900 gold price from 2010 was driven by competing Chinese physical demand, synced with an under-testimony admission by industry apologist Jeffrey Christian at the televised CFTC March 2010 metal meeting dealing with an abuse of position limits, focusing on the LBMA CME actors. And this confirmed that it was standard practice to trade 100 ounces of paper gold for every ounce held in a vault. And so basically, these were the two main catalysts that rapidly drove the dollar price of gold 900 bucks higher from March 2010, ultimately forcing an officially sanctioned LBMA bailout between 2011 and 2016. Now, fortunately, backing this revelation, the 2009-2010 Reserve Bank of India report for the first and only time specifically benchmarked in writing to a 92 ounces of unbacked FX gold was being traded against each ounce of physical backing up the LBMA FX trades. Just one day after the CFTC revelation, it exposed gold as being underpriced by the Western actors, and all first and second tier liquidity providers began receiving at-market Asian jurisdictional buy orders. This in turn tightened up supply, driving Western driving Western gold price higher. And under the governance of head gold trader Benoit Gilson, the influx of this 203 tons of IFM physical gold began to be leased out by the BIS at its standardized 92-to-1 fractionally held paper to physical ratio. Why wouldn't it have been? That was what the Reserve Bank of India said was the standard par for the course benchmark. Now, these swaps and leases were stick handled by the Fed's agent, too big to fail LBMA bullion banks, who were privileged to have gold accounts with the Bank of England. And little did they know that these highly leveraged leases and swaps would begin to be called in at far higher prices than they'd been sold at. They were unbacked. These were highly leveraged positions. So before Basel III NSFR standards were introduced in 2023, these gold stops, swaps and leases provided the participating central banks a yield while enabling the Fed to suppress the FX gold price from rising against the dollar. However, blocking the PBOC from buying the IMF gold at a fair market price, then leveraging this 203 tons at 92-to-1 into a potential, which is a potential 18,400 tons of synthetic supply to suppress the true supply demand price being discovered, opened up a Pandora's box of problems for the LBMA insiders. And, you know, understanding China's reaction to being locked out of the IMF and gold sale was a gross miscalculation, ultimately leading to the 2011 LBMA bank bailout. The global realization that physical gold had been significantly underpriced versus synthetically diluted fiat gold became the trigger that has ultimately driven gold and silver pricing power away from the dilutive Western exchanges into the physically settled exchanges in the East. This has been a long process, but it really took Basel III and SFR conditions for this to really get traction. Now, the West may continue to try and set the price, but with gold still well below a general consensus that gold sub 3,000 is far too cheap, each Western price setting settling attempt that cannot be offset against the Western useful fools, the siloed CTAs, is being alchemized. And following this wake-up call, it was no coincidence that the PBOC reversed strict controls on citizens owning gold in 2010, where the PBOC opened up an extremely well-coordinated state-owned China central television narrative encouraging citizens to urgently buy gold as well as silver. I mean, do you remember these official efforts were accompanied by skyscraper-sized roadside billboards encouraging gold buying? So fast forward to now, and there's a long story short, ABN AMRO fell apart. The whole lease thing fell apart in 2011 after a $900 price rise over and above where they started leasing this stuff out. And it caused a fracture. And then we saw this huge bailout between 2011 and 2016, which still didn't breach the 2010 buy levels. Now, fast forward to now. And in addition to the officially reported Chinese central bank buying noted in the recent IMF report, much larger covert PBOC monetary gold purchases reflect a ramped up strategic de-dollarization process. And as we've recently drawn attention to how China has been able to covertly accrue some 40,000 tons of gold by exchanging some of the hidden 3 trillion of shadow banking FX reserves, which the US Trade and Treasury Representative Setzer drew attention to back in 2022. This is a process that we've been tracking. And when Glazunov's gold-backed BRICS currency is formally launched, and it is realized that the beta-tested currency is far more liquid than was assumed, because it ultimately is backed by what liquidity providers as an aggregated 60,000 tons of gold, which plus in the event of war, the PBOC can telegraph that they've already telegraphed that they can equitably access 20,000 tons at least of citizens' gold when facing, you know, so really what's happening here is Western central banks really are going to be forced to raise the percentage of gold held versus GDP to mitigate this upsurge of inflationary pressure of commodities paid for in dollars, forcing a global gold price revaluation. And I hope to provide more on the progress of this rollout after the May 28th Moscow meeting. But I would encourage everyone to read the IFM report that we've linked below, because it's interesting. And there's some links in there of why buy gold. Hopefully, and this kind of reflects where the BIS has gone with their thinking. BIS dumped all of their leases, 500-odd tons of leases, before Basel III kicked in. IMF, all the central banks bar for the Fed, are really long gold. So what I'm hoping to do with this episode, I just hope it's assisted in providing a wholesale market perspective to provide context against the short-term paper-centric chart chatter that we see. And really, this is all about coattailing the BRICS price makers as we take measures also to protect our wealth by swapping out of dollars, euros, pounds, yens, yuan, anything. This is why we always ask Robert Kiyosaki's question, how much physical gold and silver do you own?
All right. Thank you, Andrew McGuire, for talking gold. And remember, to our Life in the Vault community, buy physical, make sure it's backed 1-to-1, and understand the difference between what Andy calls the casino paper gold and silver markets and the actual physical gold and silver markets. They're not the same. Don't be fooled. And there you have it. That's all we have for you today on another episode of Live from the Vault. Now, please keep spreading the word about this channel by hitting that like button, share this information, and make sure you subscribe if you haven't already done so. And if you click on that bell, that black bell right there, you'll be notified as each episode goes live. And with that, we'll see you next time right here on Live from the Vault. See you then.